Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. And we're very pleased to have with us today Warren Norman with the Warren Norman Company. They do a little bit of developing here, a little bit of developing there, and every couple times a year we like to get the man in here to find out exactly what he's up to these days. And probably one of the most obvious projects to us that hang out here at Substation 2 is what's diagonally across the corner, and we'll be talking with him about that in just a moment. How are you, Warren?
Wonderful.
How was the basketball game this morning?
It was good. It was good. We were just chatting about basketball. Early morning YMCA, old man basketball. Can't beat it.
You did just fine. You did better than Joe Sprouse, I can tell you that.
Oh, absolutely did better than Joe. Yeah, I worked him over this morning.
You know, the last time we got together, we were talking about, well, the impact of the pandemic. I mean, it just was hurting everybody, particularly those, and you were in this business as well, where you've got properties that you rent, and everybody was trying to help everybody else. So here we are, a year later, almost to the day. What's your reading of the tea leaves as far as our economy and the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, economy, don't know, but certainly from a pandemic perspective, I think we feel like we are starting to come out of this. We are in the hotel business and across multiple states, and that industry was affected in a massive way, as every industry was. But we are starting to see movement in a positive trend over the course of the last month, and movement that is, I won't call it extremely significant, but significant enough to where it proves that people are getting out again. Business traveler, I won't say is completely back, but certainly business travel is starting to happen again. And so that's a good sign, and that's an indicator within that industry that is probably a good as any indicator of the fact that we're hopefully coming out of this thing.
I can remember somebody by the name of Ralph Norman. Do you know him?
Barely. Barely nowadays.
But I remember your dad sitting here one day. We had the same conversation, and he said, and this was when a year ago, he said, my gosh, our occupancy is 15 or 20%. He says, not enough to pay the water bill.
No, it's not. It wasn't. I mean, it's it really got hit hard. And thankfully, you know, we're a conservative, low debt or try to be company. But, you know, if you had a bunch of debt on properties within that industry, I don't see how you would have maintained it, because it hit that industry hard.
You know, another sector that I get different readings on, I see restaurants like Substation 2 that have gone very well through this pandemic. Others really got smoked. What do you hear from the restaurant community?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you know, your businesses, we're in a unique position where we have tenants that are the biggest of the biggest, and Walmart or corporate America restaurants down to smaller mom and pops. And it was interesting to watch how all the different groups or segments handled the pandemic as we waded through this. The PPP money really helped a lot in most industries, so that was a very good thing. You know, as landlords, we tried to work with all of our tenants through this, and the restaurant industry in particular probably got hit, you know, the hardest of different business types within the retail industry. And and for the most part, from our experience with our tenants, they figured out a way to move and shake through this. And you know, online takeout orders became a big thing. We're seeing drive-through restaurant requests with new tenants that want to enter the market, and that's a direct result of the pandemic and the way business has changed in terms of how people get their food with DoorDash and those type of services. So, you know, your good operators were good operators before, and they were good business people that that figured out a way to navigate those waters and probably had stable businesses. You know, we had a few that went out, but frankly, those had issues before COVID came around. So it was, you know, it was interesting to see how people handled it. And, it was encouraging to see how people handled it. You know, we really don't get into the business of our tenants very much, but we had to with this. And it was really, a good way to watch humanity and how people work together to, you know, to figure out a situation that was uncontrollable that nobody could have ever predicted. No. And, you know, and so that was, I would say overall from a restaurant standpoint, to answer your question, people navigated it pretty well. Once people started picking up food or getting deliveries, those revenue numbers, while not maybe what they were, they certainly were able to sustain through for the most part.
If you were in the restaurant business or the hotel, or really the restaurant business and the retail business, if you didn't know, couldn't figure out how to pivot, you were going to be in pretty deep trouble. And I know you've got retail tenants as well.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, you know, and they, same thing, you know, they, again, the PPP money helped. I think without that, you would have seen a much different story. So kudos for that coming down the pipe, because that really sustained and helped, you know, from a standpoint of cash flow with different businesses. And but yeah, I mean, for the most part, we underwrote some pretty dire situations in our portfolio of what we own, and it didn't come close to that in terms of you know, in terms of what ultimately ended up playing out. So that's a good thing at the end of the day.
Wow.
We're lucky we're in a good part of the country. I mean, that's other parts of the country are dealing with much different situations where, kind of my example of, if you were already in trouble, this just made it worse. And we're fortunate that we're located in a thriving town and a thriving market in a good area of the country, and that certainly plays into and helps. So,
speaking of which,
mm-hmm.
it's quite obvious that if you're in construction, this is the place to be. I just can't get over the amount of construction that is underway,
yeah,
in this community downtown. What the Carolina Panthers are doing, what you're doing. I mean, you're right when you say that you couldn't be in a better place. I think that's very accurate. That's not an overstatement.
No, it absolutely is true. You know, we're even hearing and seeing subcontractor backups from our general contractors that we use. You know, Leitner across the street that we'll talk about is doing that project for us. And we're, you know, projects that we're looking at, you know, 3-6 months down the line, we're hearing there's going to be a shortage. So you got to lock these deals in now in terms of getting subcontractors signed up, because there is so much construction going on, which is a good thing for our area and community. But it's booming.
But hand in hand with that is the cost of materials. I mean, my gosh, to buy a 2x4 now is crazy.
It's through the roof. It's absolutely through the roof. And I know we're not talking about the mall project, but the Galleria Mall, you know, that was something we wanted to really redevelop, and that we've had to take a pause on that simply because of that particular issue on construction costs, among a few others. But it's definitely something that that is an issue, is materials and supplies. That's something that I'm certainly not an expert in, but we hear it from what we do, that's an issue that needs to be watched, and we see it on the call side.
Well, since you mentioned it, I was going to bring it up, so we might as well get into it. So the last time, again, we were together, mm-hmm. you were doing a lot of different models about what that Galleria should look like, and you referenced the fact that it looks like we'll tear down part of this and tear down part of that, and put the puzzle back together again, I guess, is the best way to do it. Did you ever finalize those plans, or are they still out there?
That, you know, recent as this week and last week, we had some things happen that are going to put that whole thing on pause, unfortunately. I think we had worked pretty hard on redevelopment plans that would allow us to go in and essentially blow the whole thing up and turn it into a completely different asset class. That still is on the table. We were on a fast track to do that, and we are still going to announce in the next probably, I don't know when we'll announce it, but we'll be locked in on a new tenant going into the mall that is a very solid tenant that was going to be an anchor for us to redevelop it. We've run into some issues with some tenants in there that prevent us from being able to redevelop it now, and so we've got to kind of wait that out. And so, at the right time or when we ultimately work it out, that could be in 6 months, it could be in a year, it could be in 5 years, who knows, but it... You know, we'll jump in there, and certainly our purchase of the mall was and is with the intent to completely redevelop that and tie it into property we own behind the mall. So all the work and the planning that we had done is still on the table. It just becomes a timing issue of ultimately when we cut loose on that. And it still will be an asset with some of the tenants that we are working towards finalizing the leases and signing. It still will be an uptick in a better mall and situation than it is now. But ultimately, we don't want it to be a mall. We want to turn it into an outdoor center, and that still is on the table. It's just a question of when we're going to do it. So, but that's the nature of our business. And you work on stuff, and it falls through. And frankly, we're in a group that likes to get in an extreme hurry, and the situation that presented itself with being able to redevelop the mall quickly was something we had not anticipated. But everything had to fall into place perfectly for us to do it this year. And I think that's where we just, everything happens for a reason. We'll take a big breather and figure out when we're going to do that, which will probably be, within the next couple of years.
Meanwhile, the price of everything just gets higher and higher and higher.
Well, you got economic conditions, what's going to happen in the retail big box world. So cost of doing this, all those things played into, hey, when all the signs point to maybe not now is not the right time to do that, usually you need to read the signs and say, all right, well, let's put the pause button. It's better to, I think my dad and my granddad, it's better to be too conservative and not do something than get out on a limb and do something and then regret that you did it. So you can never you can never make that decision and look back and say, well, I wish I had done it faster, because you can always then do it at that time. So. Yeah.
Well, you've got the property, and you just have to figure out when the trigger points are that you can do something.
Yeah, and again, there's still going to be some exciting announcements on the mall. So we're excited, coming down the pipe this year that we'll still be putting new tenants in there. That'll be really, really good for the community.
Well, when you think about that piece of property and what you have behind it, the thing that really catches me is that five-lane extension mm-hmm. of Red River Road that's going to come down from Cherry Road all the way right down. I mean, it's going to be... It's got traffic out there now. It's going to have even more.
Even more, and that's a good thing that they're improving that infrastructure as part of the Penny's package that's coming down the pipe, as will be the Galleria Boulevard extension. So that's part of the Penny's package. We had funded the majority of that, but Penny's came in and is funding the rest of it that will tie into Waterford Park Drive. So that'll open that up and give better access from Cherry and back half of Rock Hill to be able to get to that area. And that's a good thing and needed, so that everybody's not dumping out during the holidays and all that. It gets pretty crowded around there.
When they had all these discussions about extending Dave Law Boulevard, the very expensive project that's way off the boards right now, everybody kept raising the question, and rightfully so, what are you going to do if you open that corridor up? What are you going to do with that intersection there right now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's clogged as it can be.
Oh, yeah, you're seeing that in Fort Mill. I mean, with the interchange at 160 right by Baxter, and thankfully they're fixing both of those. You can see the construction is actually going on the Gold Hill interchange, which is good. But, yeah, got to get those infrastructure in prior to, and that's – I think we do a good job of that in town and in South Carolina, better than North Carolina, honestly. So.
You know, I think – I know you're familiar with this name, a guy by the name of Mike Wendell from Sand Corporation that developed the Cambria Hotel down here. We did an interview with him last week that we're running pieces of it. The last piece ran yesterday. But he said, South Carolina is a place to be for business. He said, I want to tell you, didn't even ask him this. He says, where I live in Minnesota? No.
Right.
We're not open for business.
Yeah.
South Carolina is open for business, and so is the city of Rock Hill. So
definitely, and that's what we're seeing, and it's why, we talked earlier about being in a good part of the country, and you have a pro-growth model, so that's a good thing. And people are moving down here and have consistently been moving down here from different parts of the country. And certainly the pandemic and how that's been handled has caused more people. We're seeing that caused more people to move into areas that, that have treated it like South Carolina has treated it. So that's Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah.
And our big issue right now is where we're going to put them all.
I know.
The thing about affordable housing, which we won't get into right now. We're going to take our mid-program break. We come back, we're going to talk about this thing called the Perch.
Perfect.
Which is right across the street from us here at Substation 2. A reminder that you're listening to Straight Talk, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And as Warren knows, we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. He's chewing on one in between microphone participation.
Right.
So how do we do it? One, two, three.
Slice.
Garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
Your health care can't wait. Piedmont Medical Center has a full-service ER ready to accommodate any health care need. This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Medical Director of the Emergency Department at Piedmont Medical Center. From trauma care to imaging and lab services, we offer high-quality care with board-certified physicians. Don't delay in an emergency. Count on us to be here for you 24/7, 365 days a year. Learn more about Piedmont Medical Center's emergency room and check in online at mypmc.com/ercheckin.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Comporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Comporium. Connect your whole home.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at andersongriggs.com.
Hey, Charlie, what's new with Substation 2?
That's easy. We're bringing back our delicious corned beef sandwich. It's lean, perfectly seasoned, sliced fresh to order, and garden just the way you like.
Don't miss this limited time offer at Substation 2.
Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop with Warren Norman of the Warren Norman Company. They are local developers here in Rock Hill. I guess we're into the third generation, right?
That's right.
You're it. All right.
Third generation.
So here we go. Right across the street from Substation 2. You have taken the corner of Oakland Avenue and Cherry Road, and you just announced here a week or so ago that the project is going to be called The Perch.
The Perch. That's right.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So what is going to be in The Perch?
So we are there's the old – well, first of all, on the name, we had a really good partnership with Winthrop University on choosing that name, and we approached Winthrop kind of offhandedly, to be honest with you, about, hey, would you guys want, given its proximity to Winthrop, would you guys want to use this as a project to kind of give your input? And boy, they took it and ran with it. Jane Thomas over there and Stephanie, oh gosh, I can't remember Stephanie's name, but Jane Thomas was the main lead person over there, who's a professor over at Winthrop, and she did a phenomenal job of literally going way beyond what we thought. And they made it three different class semester projects and did research on everything from tenant mix to naming to put out a Facebook thing where community people could tie in and give their opinion on it. And it was a really neat collaborative partnership that we did with them that was, I won't say by accident, but it was certainly was not, we didn't think it would be as successful as it was when we approached them. And we'll do it again because it really was a win-win. They had an opportunity to use a real project that they can see come out of the ground and they can see their work get implemented into the project. So we used their logo, we used their name, we used all of their material that they provided. They did a big presentation to us. It was great. And so that was pretty cool given its proximity to Winthrop across the street. So that's where the perch came from, and kudos to Jane Thomas and Winthrop University for that, because it was it really was a very surprisingly successful collaborative project that we did with them. So
did they give you ideas about what they wanted to see in terms of tenants over there?
They did. They took one of the classes took an opportunity to go and do some market research on what the community wanted to see from a tenant mix standpoint. They provided some pretty good information and data on different age groups and what tenant mixes that they like to see and the differences and what is successful. They did research on other projects that were similar near universities that they pointed to and looked at and presented all this. So some of the tenant stuff is what we do, but it was great to see other projects. It was very helpful to us to see that. And they, again, took it and ran with it. And that was fantastic. And then a different class, we met out there and toured the buildings with them and showed them. So I think it was a good opportunity for some of the students over there to learn about the development process and how we put it together. So that's where it was. I think it was good for them. I think Stephanie and Jane would tell you it was good for them. And equally, it was good for us because we got a lot of good information out of it. And then, of course, we got and used the name and the logo that they created throughout their art department. So we used that. We didn't go and do any of that on our own. We completely used all their stuff. And you'll see that incorporated. There's a wall that'll be on Cherry Road where it'll have the perch written into the wall. It'll be pretty cool. So it's stuff like that that we use, and different markers within the center that we'll have. So it was really neat, and they did it. They did a great job, and I think the students enjoyed it. So
for those who are not familiar, this is not a project that came together overnight. You had wonderful challenges trying to get the Coca-Cola building, which was purchased previously from Coke by Winthrop University.
Correct.
So it became state property.
Yeah.
And there was a challenge.
Oh, yeah. That was we got there. But we first purchased, there was a building, we called it the Workman Building. It was owned by Miss Workman. It was a building that was on Oakland. That was the first piece we purchased probably 4 years ago. We were really close to putting a restaurant in there. And ironically, the gas station owner that was a gas station there for years, and they approached us, and it worked out where we could purchase that as well. So we started piecing this property together, then put a hold on the restaurant. We at that point approached Winthrop and the state about purchasing the Coke building, and there's a lot of bureaucratic red tape to get things like that done, but we got it done. So
you've had a double dose of that between Miracle Park.
Yeah, both of those things were going on at the same time. Ironically, we were, we're very thankful for both. But it is definitely business is done differently with all of the steps, and it just is done differently than in the private sector for sure.
So you ought to open up a consulting business on how to deal with the state of South Carolina.
I want to. Thankfully, I have enough to do.
But, all right, yeah, so
it
what
was
we,
good. So we purchased it, and that was the old Coke building, and we were very happy to purchase. It's a great, neat old building that has some really cool architecture inside that we're going to repurpose. So,
all right, so we're going to repurpose it. How? What's going to be over here in the perch?
So there's a restaurant tenant that we're really close to announcing. Had a meeting with him yesterday, and I was like, "Can we announce this?" He's like, "No, because we're still working through things. Not that the deal's not done. It is done. It's just that we're tying up loose ends to get everything ready to announce. But I think it's going to be a very exciting restaurant tenant and brewery that's going to go either all in the Coke building or in the Coke building and the perch building that sits on the corner. And so it's one, the whole project is the perch. We're calling the whole thing, but then you have the older Coke building. That is really neat. We've we tore down the metal buildings around it and a piece of the brick building. You can actually still see the bricks that are sitting out there, so we're going to reuse some of those bricks and building some of the stuff back, so that's pretty neat. And it's a great corner in town. We're going to have a big games area in between the Coke building and the Perch building that will be unlike anything in town. So that's going to be pretty cool. Multiple fire pits and a big lawn to where you can do music and of course having restaurants and breweries right there is going to be a great opportunity for families and Winthrop students. So that's the point of what we're trying to do. We're trying to be very intentional about the tenants that go in there to hit that mark, the mark of being able to appeal to families with good food and be able to go get a beer with buddies, and also, you know, to the Winthrop Winthrop students.
So do you anticipate more than one restaurant in this project?
We do. We could certainly I think there's going to be a main restaurant in the Coke building, and that will serve as sort of the main restaurant anchor. You know, with parking requirements with restaurants, there's only so many you can get in there. We certainly can do more, you know, ice cream, those types of service, but those aren't true restaurants. We could do, now we've got a, you know, a wine bar that's interested. So I think those type uses, which aren't true sit down large restaurants, like the one that's taking the Coke building. The Coke building, I mean, it's almost 6,000 square feet plus a patio. To give you a perspective, that's about the size of a Longhorns or a Hickory Tavern. So it's a large restaurant that will be the anchor for that corner. And then the brewery concept is also connected to that restaurant. So it's one user that will do both. And that's where I think we're, you know, that we're committed to them because we want them to be successful. And I think that's going to be a good anchor. And then the rest of the center will fill in with more service oriented, not big restaurant sit downs, but service oriented, like a wine bar or a sandwich shop, or, you know, these type things.
So will there be what, office space in there?
Office space upstairs. Yep.
Okay.
So
no living.
No living. We looked at that. We looked at doing a three-story product with apartments on top, but pulled away from that mainly due to parking. We had looked at, I could show you 20 plans on the site. It's such an important corner in town. We wanted to do it right. We were really excited about it because it is such an important corner. We're here. We live here. You know, we're not selling it. We're keeping it. So we're probably going to spend more money than we should on it, but that's okay. We want to hold it for a long time and it be a staple project for Rock Hill.
Yesterday, when I had the interim president of Winthrop University, George Hind, on here, mm-hmm. I mentioned this to you this morning.
Yeah.
His closing comment, just as we close the microphones, is that this Perch project and what's happening down here at University Center with the Foundry, that big old powerhouse, are really going to start be key pieces of making Rock Hill more of a college town.
Mm-hmm.
And from what you described, that's exactly what you're doing at that project. You're giving students a reason to hang out here on the weekend rather than take out like they always do.
Yeah, and, you know, there's always been this, I think I heard either Dr. Mahoney or Dr. Giorgio at one point say, you know, Winthrop is kind of isolated, and you know, this was an objective by RHEDC and everything that's going on in Knowledge Park to pull Winthrop out and have it be a college, have the university be a part of the community, and the community buy in and be a part of the university. And I think you're slowly starting to see that happen in each piece part that goes along. I married Chrissy's was a Winthrop girl, so she kind of had said she didn't know anything about all the exterior Rock Hill. They were just isolated right here. So you know, I think that's a good thing to have Winthrop start to bleed out into the community. The basketball program, talk basketball, I'm a basketball guy, so the basketball program's great. Certainly hope Coach Kelsey will stick around so that he can continue the positive trends that we've seen with the program he's built.
Well, maybe
so.
Now the Perch will be there. He can have a place to hang out with the kids.
Exactly, yeah. It's, right. Hopefully that kind of stuff helps recruiting. So.
All right. Well, Warren, thanks for all that you're doing. I could spend another hour with you about other things that you're involved with, but we'll do that again, I promise you.
Sounds great.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, as we all know, fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. There is a magical formula that they have. Pretty simple. So simple, we put it on the back of T-shirts so that we can bellow it out to everybody who's new to the community. At the count of three, here we go. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.